In 1966, Time magazine asked, "Is God dead?" Now best-selling author Eric Metaxas takes that famous question and turns it around when he asks, "Is atheism dead?" In his bestseller titled, "Is Atheism Dead?" Metaxas offers a provocative answer as he shows atheism to be not only implausible and intellectually sloppy, but also demonstrably ridiculous. Get your copy of "Is Atheism Dead?" available now at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Hey, we're back. My name is Dwayne Risco, known as Coach Dwayne, and I live in Brunswick, a great community just 30 miles south of Cleveland in the great state of Ohio. I got Joe Larson with me down in the Missouri state. Told you folks, he's a walking encyclopedia. I got Randy here. I got Elaine Connolly. Now, instead of me reading an article, here's something I want to read for you real quick, and I'll turn it back over to Joe. Psalms 37. Now, folks, all of us, we have certain desires in our heart. Every one of us have different desires. Somebody wants to meet somebody. Somebody wants their loved one healed. Somebody wants to get a different car or move or go. Whatever your heart desires. Maybe you want to, like me, I had shoulder problems. I couldn't lift weights in September. And on my birthday a few days ago, I asked God and I was able to, I'm on my second workout. I want to go back to jogging and playing ball and stuff. So those are some of my desires. Well, Coach, how do we get them? Psalms 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Now here you go, folks. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now, here's the key. When you want something from the Lord, don't put a timetable on it. Don't say, Lord, you know, I'm gonna expecting you in a couple of weeks. No, don't. Make your request known to God. But the first thing you do, get rid of all anger, resentment, jealousy, and hostility, and forgive everybody of everything. Work on forgiving everybody and of everything. Because now, once you do that, and you start reading your Bible, trusting in God, doing good to people, don't seek revenge, don't gossip, help your neighbors, help the needy, help the poor, visit the sick, go to the nursing home, do something for the Lord, be a prayer warrior, donate money to your local church, then the radio ministry, and here you go. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Last one. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Folks, it took me since September to get back to lifting weights with a torn rotator cuff. But I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to wait upon you. And I seek the desires of my heart. And he knows that's what I want. And if he did it for me, I don't care who you are, black and white, young or old, where you live. You're listening to me on the internet. You're in prison, whatnot. You're in the hospital, wherever you're at. God will help you with the desires of your heart. And that's coming from Coach Dwayne. I can only tell you stuff that's happened in my life. Joe, take it away.
All right. I've got several more truths to tell, but I've got one bit of humor here. The L.A. district attorney, you know, the one that was bought and paid for by George Soros?
Yeah.
Offering free shuttle services so his staff can get to work safely in his crime-ridden city. He's having to have a free shuttle with an armed guard go around to collect his staff to get them to work safely in Los Angeles.
Linda in California pledged $100 and Anthony in Ohio $30. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Yes, thank you, one and all out there. Just remember that we're here, and because God called us to be, he's asked you all to partner with us, a real true partnership. We're all volunteers. None of us get paid ever. We donate our own time, our own talent, and often our own treasure. And we're asking you to partner with us, and your donations pay the bills. And that's the big bill, of course, is the radio airtime. That way we don't have to have sponsors that get frightened off every time we say something that's politically incorrect, like every night. And and here's one big story. You've all heard about the drone that was shot down by the Russian plane. It was knocked down.
Spray down.
These drones, this big drone, is a really expensive piece of equipment. It was over the Black Sea. Free space. You know, was it? What am I trying to say?
Like international water?
International airspace where everybody can fly.
Well, but Joe, we were talking yesterday. You were saying that we don't have a. I could get over there as quick as the quickest Navy ship could get over there, get the debris from that thing. I could walk over there. I mean, that's about how many boats we have over there to kind of. So the Soviets will get the debris. We know that.
Well, what happened, they said, oh, we're going to go after it, but we don't have any ships anywhere near there.
Well, they said they wiped it clean. They said they had so many hours to wipe it clean, so if the Russians got it, there'd be nothing on it that they could help them, you know.
Well, it's a joke.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
This jet came from nowhere buzzing and came by and sprayed the thing and then actually hit it and knocked the propeller, messed up the propeller, put it down. But they had ships already there. They had already been on the crash site. So here we have, everybody's going back and forth. But as I tell the story, this thing's a lot of money. We have people saying we ought to force the Russians to pay for it, and we ought to do this, and we ought to do that, and we need to send fighters here or there. And but the thing that bothered me is, well, all this is going on, the Air Force is hiring DEI officials to build a world-class equity and inclusion program. They're hiring senior multi-level diversity equity inclusion managers in posts across the nation to develop a world-class DEI-related positions. Each position guarantees a salary of $82,000 or more, with the highest at $180,000. So they're starting in Arlington, Virginia. They're going to Andrews Air Force Base and Elmendorf Air Force Base in Alaska and Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama, for examples. And they're offering these jobs. And the Department of Commerce National Institute of Standards and Technology is hiring a supervisor director of diversity and inclusion starting at about $157,000 a year. Department of Human Services is trying to hire somebody at $122,000. The White House Office of Management and Budget wants to hire a DEI specialist at $132,000 a month. Here they're spending all kinds of money focusing on something. We have the Russians, folks. They have been flying more and more armed aircraft over U.S. bases in Syria. They have been flying close to our borders and aircraft in Alaska. They have been doing provocative things all over the world.
Not to mention the Chinese.
And the Chinese are doing it. They're trying to focus into, you know, poke the bear till we get mad enough to do something stupid because of the war in Ukraine. And we have this weak leader who does not know how to handle this.
You said it. If it's Donald Trump in office, this stuff wouldn't be happening.
Absolutely. But I'd like to kind of just, you know, shall we say, divert the conversation. Folks, we haven't gotten in $1,000 tonight.
No, but Brandon in Michigan just donated $50. So thank you, Brandon.
He gave us $50. So I'm asking, we got like about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm asking, could we at least try to raise $5,000 in 40 minutes? Because it still won't cover tonight, but it'll certainly take us from where we are. We're not even at 1,000.
And we know there's somebody out there that can help us. And
we know somebody can write one check.
Randy, I've said it before. Pastor Sanders, and Joe, you know this for a fact, that the people that he's had on here from the House of Representatives and the Senate, they can raise millions of dollars for one election in the state. Why doesn't some of these same people that Ernie's gave them free time, why make some phone calls and say, let's raise some money for Pastor Sanders and take the load off his shoulders?
Amen. That's exactly, literally
and
off
we
his
do
shoulders.
We promote a lot of the Christian conservatives. We do tell who's on what side. We do point out the lies that are being told. It's like, here's this drone. It's a $32 million drone. So when they came and knocked that thing out of the sky, think about that. The MQ-9 Reaper drone, that is a lot of money, $32 million a shot. And the Russians are being very, very provocative. These are dangerous times. And unfortunately, it's not the time to have somebody who doesn't have all their facilities, who has some mental disorders. He gets lost, confused, you know.
Well, look at the cabinet that we're stuck with. We got Milley, and you've got the Navy commander. They're more worried about critical race theory and woke. We got Department of Transportation is a flamer. Don't know his you-know-what from a hole in the ground. They don't go down to Ohio, down in East Palestine, where all this stuff's going on. They stay away there. Why? How come they're not down to really do anything about it? Because it's Trump country. They're all white. They don't have the Black Lives Matter teams down there. So they're staying away from it. Elaine, you wanted to say something before.
Yeah, I do. And I'm going to throw a wrench in everything because I believe that all of this going on with the promotion of Russia and China against the U.S. basically is a false flag to keep our minds off of what they're doing at home here in America. And if we're in fear looking at what is happening internationally, all right, Putin is not a good guy necessarily, all right, but he's the only one that is fighting against, okay, takeover, all right? And so I don't think that it appears it is what it is being played out to be, all right? We've got liars on both sides of the camp here. So from that perspective, we need to concentrate on what's going on at home, locally, in our state, and nationally. And the international is, I believe, God's got this. All right. Let me finish.
Sure.
He's got this. All right. And I think it's a smokescreen to keep us focused outside of the United States. If you go on to any of the Patriot podcasts, they will tell you they know that they see Russian and good Chinese because China has their own internal strife going on right now.
Right, they do.
All right?
Yeah.
So their military ships are off of both of our coasts, and they have been for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Well, you bring up a good point.
So it's not all what it seems to be. All right? So I'm not voting. I'm not encouraging that Putin is a 100% good guy here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sorry. I think he's doing the right thing by way of the Ukraine because of the fact that our Department of Defense put those bio labs in Ukraine.
That's right.
They did.
All right.
That's right.
Joe and Ernie talked about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So when he first went in, he did away with those, and those bio labs had smallpox in there. And that was soon to be released in America.
Well, here's a question for you. Why would you go in any lab like a Frankenstein, and design stuff that's going to make people sick, knowing that it's a matter of time before things get leaked
out?
And
that happened during the Obama administration.
Sure did.
Because he lifted all of the research related to altering fetal cells. There were constraints put into place. I think, I don't know whether Reagan put them in or prior to Obama, but he lifted all of that research, and that opened the door for Anthony Fauci.
And they both, Joe, I think you guys reported that Fauci and Obama funded. They sent money
to the Wuhan lab.
They did. And take a look at how many times Trump met with Putin. Look at how many times he met with the guy in China.
Right.
All right, but I think the guy...
Nobody messed with him.
All right, but my point is that he's got his own fight on his hands because he's got good and bad military also.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just putting that in there as a point of information. Right. We got to look at home here and take care of our America here.
Ernie has always stated, so has Joe and his other guests, that any time that there's big stuff going elsewhere... Joe, you guys have been a stickler for years saying that. Look in your backyard, like you're saying, Elaine, because that's the big billboard what's going on news. But what are they doing in all the states? What legislation are they passing? What bills are they ratifying through that we have no say-so on?
Governor DeWine in Ohio is walking around with a boot on his ankle. He's not the only leader, political leader, that's got a boot on. So what's underneath there? Is it an ankle bracelet?
God only knows. We need a phone numbers. We have the phones aren't ringing.
888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Please give us a call. We need it.
We need to hear. Yes, we do. What I was trying to point out with what's going on is not that you're right, or the danger in this country is from within, but that's the problem. We have put these idiots in charge.
Mm-hmm.
They are turning the military into a wokeism
instead
of a fighting force. They are expending our military ammo, equipment, and money in the Ukraine. In the meantime, China and Russia are getting more aggressive. China is still looking at Taiwan. And we see that China, most people don't know this, has launched hundreds of satellites to target our Space Force.
That's right.
And General Saltzman came out before a hearing this Tuesday, said the People's Liberation Army had 347 satellites gathering information. They are making satellites that can destroy other satellites. They are making satellites that can shoot weapons. And all kinds of stuff is going on that our government hasn't been paying attention to. It says they are developing lasers to disrupt satellite sensors, electronic warfare jammers, and building crafts that grab and move rival orbiting platforms. We have been ignoring what China's doing. Our people are focused on pushing this. We're going to create the biggest DEI thing. What was I just read it. They were, you know, that they can make. And they're not focusing on warfighting. They're not focusing on defense. They're not focusing on stopping the Chinese from hacking into us. And what's happening is we're being destroyed from within because the people, the main function of government is to protect the people. And our government, instead of protecting us, it looks to me like they're selling us out. They're committing treason by putting all Americans at risk of life, limb, property, you name it, and potential future war, which, having been in one, I don't want to see my sons and grandchildren having to go to another war like I was in. And just think about what I said a little while ago. We've had more young people kill themselves with fentanyl than we lost soldiers in World War II.
And suicide.
So we're at a war. Yeah. We're being attacked right now by China through Mexico through drugs. This country is in really bad shape, and the people have to wake up to understand we are at war. It's a physical war. It's a spiritual war. It's an economic war. It's a political war. And the children of God have got to come to the battle and say, no, we're not going to go there. We're not going to go into a communist, socialist, woke state. We're not going to sacrifice our children on the idol of, you know, transsexualism and, you know, DEI and white privilege, all this. No, we're not going to go along with the lies.
Oh, we didn't even get into AI or 5G.
Well, and also today, we've got somewhat of a win because there was a podcast that I watched where the head of the border police or the, what do they call them? I can't think of the, at the border.
Border agents.
The border patrol.
The border patrol.
All right. The head of the border patrol was testifying at one of the legislative hearings that the Republican put into place.
Yeah.
And basically he was asked if the border was secure and he said no. All right, and he was questioned a few times because of what has gone on. Mayorkas says it's secure.
He's
Biden says
idiot.
It's secure. Everybody says it's secure, and you're hearing from, and that's public now.
Yeah, we got 6 million peoples already coming in here.
Right, exactly.
And Mayorkas saying, "Oh, there's no problem there."
The point is this gentleman is a Democrat. All right, and he's jumping ship.
He also was under oath, and actually, see, that's what now with this new Congress that we can put. It's one thing to say a lie. It's another to stand up in front of Congress and lie like Mayorkas has done. Some of these people are willing to put themselves in any kind of jeopardy to keep the American people in the dark. They have no morals at all.
Hey, Joe, you ready for this? Andrea in Illinois pledged $2,000. Thank you. God bless you. And hey, listen, I don't want any of you to feel bad because, you know, you sit back and you hear, well, this one gave $100 and this one gave $2,000. Listen, I said it last night. That there was a lady at the well that gave her the last two pennies, and there was a rich man that threw all kind of money into the treasury. And Jesus turned around and says, I tell you the truth, this lady has gave more than this guy that threw all that money in the treasury. If you got $5, if you got $10, if you got $20, man, you are a blessing. That is so important to our radio ministry, as well as that $2,000, but that small amount means so much. So don't feel embarrassed. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. We need to hear
from
you.
That is the basis of our pyramid, the small donation still. We're elated when somebody gives $2,000, and it's certainly a blessing, and I thank God that God blessed somebody to impress on their heart to give to us, and they did, and may they receive God's biggest blessing.
Amen.
But I also pray that Lord would multiply a hundredfold to everybody.
Amen.
Because exactly. Just because you don't have a lot doesn't mean you shouldn't give at all. It's very important to us. It's major to us. We couldn't survive on big donations. We couldn't do it.
And God doesn't...
I want to quote the Lord here.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 16:17.
Yes.
Every man, and it's every person, mankind,
right,
man and woman, because back then it was only men could give, shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord thy God,
amen,
which
mm-hmm.
he hath given thee. And we know he's blessed some people that somebody could make a wonderful donation like that $2,000, but somebody else, it's as hard for them to make a $10 donation as it was for Elaine? Did I hear that right? To make the $2,000.
Andrea, yeah.
And then I want to read this. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto you. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Luke 6:38. In other words, if you give, he says, I'll make sure you can keep on giving.
Amen.
Amen.
Something that blesses him, pleases him, he will make sure that you can continue to do so if you do it with a true heart.
And I'm also going to say this, Pastor Joe, that our big donors do give every month. It's the same, pretty much the same people. And we thank people that knew and that haven't, but I'm going to say that most of our big donors are people who give every
and here's month. Something else.
Every month.
God will also bless you. You know, blessing isn't just in your checkbook and in your wallet, okay, or in your purse. It has to do with peace of mind. It has to do with comfort, reducing stress, taking worry away, adding
peace.
Comfort to your life. Absolutely,
that
a peace that
passes all understanding.
You nailed it.
You can't buy it.
Sufficiency. Health,
Danny in Detroit just pledged $50.
Thank you,
Danny. God bless.
Thank you.
I'd like to just give you a positive that I got today. And that has to do, you know, with our problematic school systems.
Mm-hmm.
And this basically, we're beginning to win the war at the local and state level with the schools. And in Texas, they've taken over the entire school system of Houston, which has 200,000 students.
Oh, wow.
All right. Is now going to be run by the state.
By the state.
All right. Because of all the junk that's going on in the schools.
Junk is right. Garbage.
The children have been dumbed down so bad. We did a couple of things in the past that some of the schools, none of the kids were passing math or were proficient in math, but there were supposed to be not one. I think there were like 20 schools or somewhere in Chicago, not one child could do the standard math.
Unreal.
They're flunking in the important things, math and reading, comprehension. We've got a nation, a school district, a school system that has been dumbing down our children, and that's why homeschools have been growing by leaps and bounds.
Yep.
I'm going to tell a quick story.
You know what else is interesting about Chicago, Pastor Joe? Did you know the average teacher in Chicago makes over six figures?
Wow.
And they can't.
A lot of them,
pumping out dummies.
The average. You know, if you average it out there, they make over six figures. I mean, and they can't, and they can't read.
Yeah,
the only six figures I ever see are females.
I saw a podcast yesterday where they were asking college students to tell time, and they couldn't.
Oh, okay, yeah, I believe that.
Well, you can go to Michigan if you're upset. You go to university, and you can do timeouts. You can sit there and squeeze Play-Doh, and you can color, and you can pet dogs to get your stress down. So you can be a Wolverine.
But in Texas, what they said here was there were allegations of misconduct by school trustees, including inappropriate influencing of vendor contracts and chronically low academic scoring.
Well, and Texas is fortunate enough to have one of the better governors.
Greg
Abbott is a good. Yeah. He's a good governor. He is. So
you had a story to tell us.
Yep. Years ago, I started to help start a private school. The reason our children were failing, and we got with some churches, and the one church was the main body, and we helped set up a church homeschool combination, and pulled my daughter and five other girls out. And in 2 years, these girls all passed high school. They went through high school in 2 years. They went to college. My daughter came back with a AA degree. Well, she hadn't gotten it yet, but she had earned it and was going to be given it in a presentation when her classmates were receiving high school diplomas. And there were five girls that did this. And a Christian school-homeschool combination. And that told us just exactly how bad our school system was, and we were supposed to have a really good public school system in where we lived, and it was supposed to be one of the best around, and yet the difference, well, the school kept trying to send us all the troublemakers, and they thought, okay, they didn't like us, so they'd send over kids that were problem children, and we brought a lot of them in. We went ahead and took them in. And most of them turned out to be very good students. They needed some discipline. They needed some correction. They needed some stability. And we had retired people come in, retired teachers come in. We had a mathematician come in and help teach math. We had a journalist come in and help teach writing skills and reading comprehension. And it was a community effort. And but if you can do a complete high school in 2 years and the kids went out and took the college exams, passed them with flying colors. The public school system is not a good place for your children and grandchildren, folks, and it hasn't been. I'm old. This is way back when. Happening for a very long time. We need to wake up.
And in the schools, they're indoctrinating these kids that they to the point where they have no positive self-image. All right. They don't really know how to set any goals for life. And they are being turned into communists to separate the family and the mother and the father from the child.
And, you know, as a Sandlot coach,
a Bible study this morning, remember? The children leaving the parents. Yeah, they're being separated like the Hillary Clinton. It takes a village to raise the child. You don't do it. The village.
You know, Joe, as a Sandlot coach and growing up, my brothers taught me how to hunt and fish, play baseball and football. So I eventually taught all the kids in the neighborhood. As I went through high school, I was in the sports. I turned around, and after I become a Sandlot coach, I make a long story short, what I have learned in life, you have to learn how to lose first in order to win. None of this stuff of giving everybody a participation trophy doesn't do any good. What Elaine said about, you know, and you, they have no guidance, they have no leadership, no self-esteem. No, suck it up, Buttercup. You're going to try. You're going to get heartbroken. You're going to get rejected. You're going to get turned down. You're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. But you learn from your failures through hard work. You surround yourself with people that lift you up, encourage you, and say, we can do this. Come on, let's go. Once you learn how to lose and look in that mirror and refuse to give up, you can be a champion at anything you do, whether it's a housewife, whether it's a grandma, a grandpa, working at the grocery store, to the checkout counter, working at the gas station, spinning the dials, whatever you do, do not accept failure and say, I'm walking away, I'm quitting, I can't do it. No, no, yes, you can. Joe, you said, I think, a couple weeks ago about all the people who were great in the world. Edison failed how many times? How many times did those Jewish doctors fail stuff?
The light bulb.
Yes. We can do this. You need to surround yourself with good people. I've learned long ago, don't tell me I can't do something. Show me how I can do it. When I make mistakes, show me a better way. Hey, we're coming up to the bottom of the hour. Now, this song that I got for you, you remember the first hour, all the stuff that I read to you? And I said, look at how our world is. You know, we've got an all out of control tattoo culture at an alarming rate, body piercing. We're into witches and psychics and mediums and ghost hunters and paranormals and UFOs and grays and daddies aren't home no more and alcohol, on and on and on. Can you relate to this song like I do?
Tell me about the good old days. Sometimes it feels like this world's gone crazy. Grandpa, take me back to yesterday, when the line between right and wrong didn't seem so. Lovers really fall in love to stay, stand beside each other, come what may. Promise really something people can't, not just something they would say. Families really bow their heads to pray, daddies really never go.
Oh, yeah. doesn't that long time ago when life was so much better, you know, when I grew up, my parents built their home in Brunswick, you know, on an old dirt road back in 1952 when I was born and raised, and Mom is gone, Dad died at the age of 64, and I had Mom till 90, and now I took over the house. And the good old days, man, when people, there was the parking lots for the churches were more filled than the restaurants and the grocery stores, and now that's reversed. You don't know who the hell you are, if you're male or female, you're it. People don't fall in love anymore, they don't stay in love. I'm going to close with this. For those of you who are married, man, love each other. Don't take each other for granted. Be nice to each other. Tell each other that you love them. Husbands, buy your wife's flowers. Surprise them. Do stuff. Women, put your arms around them and tell your husband how proud you are of them. And those of you who have boyfriends and girlfriends, treat each other with respect and kindness because that makes the world go around. I think more churches even should tell people how to love one another. What do you think, Randy?
Well, all I want to do is tell you about 888-281 1110 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And of course, we know that we should love one another, and especially in the family and in personal relationships. I think that's very important. That's the foundation of life, because that's also a need. Everybody needs to be accepted. Everybody needs to feel valuable, and everybody feels to be valued by somebody that they love. You really need to feel those things, and it's and that's a two-way street. And everybody also needs to be accepted, because when it comes down to forgiving somebody, you can't forgive them if you're not going to accept.
And I want to say one other thing, too. If you're in a wheelchair and you're having a hard time, and if you're blind and you're listening to us, and if you're sick, and if you're in prison, you're in jail, wherever you are across the ocean, listening on the internet, and you don't have hardly any money, and you don't like the way you look, or you don't like the clothes that you have, or the side of town that you live in, that doesn't mean anything to God, because your soul is so important. You know, Jesus died on a cross and shed his blood because he loved you, because he wants you to be in heaven with him one day. That's the most important thing. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what part of the continent you're born in. If you're in the ghetto and you're in the street, you're a prostitute, you're a former homosexual, lesbian, druggie, whoever you are, Jesus loves you. He wants you to repent and call upon him and say, Father, I'm sorry. Jesus, save me. Salvation is the simplest thing in the world. If you can believe that Jesus was crucified on that cross for you and shed his blood to wash your sins away, and that he allowed the Romans to put spikes in his hands and feet and a crown of thorns on his head, and they buried him, and 3 days later he arose from the grave. If you can believe that and trust that in your heart, you are saved and you're going to heaven. Now, that is how important you are, and it doesn't cost you any money, because God loves you. So no matter what condition you are in, folks, listen to me. You're special. You're important. God died for you while you're dying of cancer, while you're dying, you're going to die at any age. God loves you. Joe, what can somebody do that feels that they're not worthy, that people don't understand them? How does Jesus come into their life and change them?
Through faith. The answer is you go, you confess your sins to the Lord. Sin is what brings us all down, causes all the problems in life, really. And when you go to the Father and confess those sins, truly repent with a repentant heart, your sins are forgiven, a weight is lifted off you, your life gets changed, because then you ask Jesus to be Lord of your life, and he sends you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. You become a part of the child of the kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus, and you have peace and joy in your life because of him. The answer to all of life's problems is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Give
yourself to him.
Amen.
And Joe, even if they're homeless and you've been a nurse for how many years, no matter what condition they're in, God's got salvation just waiting for him.
Exactly. And what I want to share with you was something that followed me for the beginning of my nursing career, all right? Because I've had this sense, I don't know where it came from, not from parents, I couldn't identify it, of being unworthy, Mm-hmm. All right. And I had a very intelligent physician friend, and we were having this conversation at lunch. And he said, "You believe in God?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Do you believe that you're made in his image?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Then how can you not be worthy?"
Amen.
Amen.
And that took those words I've listened to for the rest of my life mm-hmm. for that reason. Because the whole idea of being unworthy is taken care of. That's addressed because I'm made of his image and I'm a child of God.
Absolutely. Yeah. Once you accepted him, you become royalty. And Joe, I'll get real quick and I'll let you piggyback on. Listen to me, people, listen. No matter where you live, your color, your age, big and small makes no difference. When you accept Jesus Christ, you know what happens, really? You become washed in his blood. Your spirit is and soul is sealed until the day of redemption, the rapture, or death. You become a child of the King. You are now adopted into the family. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you, that when I come again, I will receive you unto myself." You can be poor, broke down, living in the street, divorced, three or four kids, don't know where your next meal's coming from, and you die saved. You got a mansion waiting for you because your Father is the King of heaven. He loves you so much. He has waiting for you pleasures and joy and more. Joseph, people really don't understand what's waiting for them because the devil deceived them.
And also,
exactly, they're lied to.
God's love is not based on your performance. You don't sustain it by it. You don't attain it by it. That God's love is from God's nature, and it's all done by God. God gave his Son, and nothing you did merits it. Nothing you did sustains it after you've gotten it.
Amen. We're not on probation. We've been pardoned.
Amen.
Real quick, and then Joe, it's yours. B&B in Ohio pledged $400. Dale in Michigan, $100. Wanda in Texas, $200.
Oh, there she is. Yeah.
Betty and Ernie from Texas, $20. God bless you. Okay,
Thank
Joe,
you.
We're not going to interrupt you.
I was just thinking, we have over the years brought so many people on the radio or talked about them, how lives were changed by Christ, how they came. And the latest, a little while back, a couple weeks ago, I think, that young Korean girl, Yonomi Park, and she and her mother were starving in North Korea, and they ran out of bugs and things to eat, and they fled to China. Her mother became a sex slave in China, and she, I don't know what all happened to her, but they ended up having to flee China. And they crossed the Mongolian desert alone, a woman and her daughter.
Wow.
And got into South Korea, eventually gets to the United States. And she goes to one of our colleges, and she finds out they're teaching the same communist crap, the same methodology, using the same brainwashing techniques at one of the top universities in America. I'm trying to remember off my head. I think it was, might have even been Columbia. But don't hold me to it. But here's the story of a young girl, Christian. It was their faith. They had faith. And think about it. They got so hungry, they were eating grass and grasshoppers and bugs because there was not enough food. You talk about looking like you're in a hopeless situation. You're trapped in North Korea, starving to death. You escape to China and get sold into slavery. And they somehow escaped that and then went across this horrible desert, two women surviving in a what I would call a godforsaken place, cold, violent.
Well said.
Danger.
Amen.
Well said.
And if you think your position in life is bad, think about her.
Yeah.
And you go online, and she's got a story out. It's called Yonomi Park, While Time yeah. Remains. She's telling a story. And it is worth the Korean dictator's search for freedom in America. And it kind of gives you the idea of, you know, if you think your life is bad, there's folks who are There are people out there, their lives have been a lot worse than yours,
Joe,
or just as bad.
Joe, how about...
brought them out.
Joe, what about some of the people that are in the burn units, man, and they have to go in those tanks, and they got to get their skin peeled off?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and then they have certain wards where the people are in so much pain, they're in a continuous drip, and the parents have to put them away because can't stop the pain, and they got to live like that till they die. So sometimes it humbles me to say, God, why did you make me a white male in Brunswick that I play ball, I hunt, I fish, I run, I do all these things, install carpet and all that. And this guy over here, and this woman, they're in a burn unit, and they're burning, and they got to have their skin pulled for. When you talk about being really bad off, boy, Joe, you humbled me with what you just said.
Well, all of us, you know, you're so lucky. I was feeling sorry for myself one day in a VA hospital after Nam, and took my wheelchair, and I went up to what we called the farm, the nursery. And I don't know what prompted. I think it was God just prompted me. I get the wheelchair. I go clear up from my floor, go up several floors. And I go in and hear all these guys in different kind of strange beds, some that rotate, some that turn over. And then there were some kind of basically there were large baskets where the guys didn't have arms or legs.
Wow.
And I was talking to some of them, wheeling my wheelchair around, and I stayed for a while, talked with a few. We made some bad jokes and prayed a little, and I left, and I got out of that ward, and I cried my eyes out. It was the last time I was ever going to feel sorry for myself.
I had my mother in a nursing home for 3 years and 2 months, and I had a ministry through Dan Palgallo and Grace Baptist Church, where I got to preach once a month there. And every time somebody, you know, I got to volunteer there and stuff, and I brought my mom home for all the 30 days that we were allowed. So I said all that to say this. I became so involved with these people that when they were ready to die, the nurses knew me, and through Don and those guys from Grace Baptist, they would come and get a hold of me. I would pray with them before they die. Mm-hmm. And I can remember this one lady saying to me, "Oh, Dwayne, I don't think I'm going to make it through the night." I said, "Honey, I'll tell you what. When you do take your last breath, you got to leave that oxygen tank. And you got to leave your wheelchair."
Yeah.
Because when the angels come,
you will be walking and singing.
Yeah,
with the angels.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. My greatest thing in life was praying to people while they were dying, and families coming back and shaking my hand and thank me, and they'd be like, "Hey, wait a minute, I just offered them Jesus, man. So whatever you're going through, you got Jesus, you got it made."
Well, I'll back up. I went through, I spent in and out about 4 years in and out of the hospital after Nam. And different surgeries and things. And then I realized when I became a pastor exactly why I went through all of that, because the Lord put me in hospice. And when somebody said they were scared, I understood that. And when they said they were hurting, they thought they were going to die. They told my wife a couple times I wasn't going to make it, and she had to go make funeral arrangements. So when those people in hospice would talk to me, I understood exactly how they felt, and I realized the Lord had me go through that to prepare me to be able to
you got
help
it.
Others.
Hey, I got an interview. Cynthia pledges $2,500. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Wow, we got a man.
God bless
you. That is a blessing. That actually set us kind of right back on the pathway. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for Cynthia, and also for everybody else who gave every nickel and every penny, because we know, dear Lord, that it all comes from you. I want to praise you, Lord Jesus, and I want to praise you for the audience. I want to praise you, dear God, for hearing our prayer and allowing us to exist. And I pray that we might honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name.
And Joe, when we get ready, you're going to give the invitation tonight. Elaine, you know, being a nurse, God allowed you to see suffering, and it allowed you to see what people go through so that you can use your compassion when somebody's dying and they're sick, how you can minister to them.
Right. My first death as a new nurse, I was 20 years old, was a 3.5-year-old child.
Wow.
Very difficult.
Oh, wow.
Very difficult.
Wow.
And you know what got me through that? The Lord.
There you go.
All right. And I help the parents along that line, too.
I did probably, now Joe, you probably did a lot, but I did like 5 funerals in my life.
But I've can't always, tell you, the main thing when someone is going through anything is physical touch.
Yes.
All right. Hugging.
Yes.
Holding their hands. Just being there. You don't even have to talk. You just have to be in that individual's presence. That is support for them.
Joe, you got 4 minutes to close us and take us home, brother. Well said, Elaine.
We were, yes, very well said. We talked earlier that what causes all of life's problems is sin. It has ever since Adam and Eve and our falling into sin. And I'm going to read pieces from Daniel, John, and Psalms. O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened to thy servants, the prophets or the pastors, which spake in thy name. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, not only for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. I, as a Christian, have acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. There you have the story of what you need to do if you want the loads off your back. See, we've all sinned. We've sinned by our thoughts, words, deeds. We've sinned by the things we've done, and we've sinned by the things that we have left undone, those things which he told us to do that we did not do. We sin more from those than we do sins of commission. We sin more by the sins of omission. So what do? Well, like Jesus told Nicodemus, we have to be born again. We have to go to the Father and confess that our sins put his Son on that cross. And we have to repent that those sins put him there, that he had to suffer and die because of me and my sin. And God will forgive us if we're repentant. And then we can go and ask the Savior,
1 minute,
Jesus Christ, to come into our heart, to come into our life, to be Lord of our life, all of our life, without any reservation, without any doubts. And if we ask, he will send us the Holy Spirit, the down payment on eternal life. And as Scripture says, Jesus said, I'm in the Father in me, and I am in you. He is in us through the Holy Spirit of God. We then become a born-again believer, a child of the kingdom, and a joint heir with Jesus in
30
everlasting
seconds.
Life. And peace that passes all understanding will come upon you.
Very well.
Do it tonight. You may not have a tomorrow.
You've been a great audience. I have a wonderful cast. You guys have been so great. I'm giving you each 2 Buckeye Leaves for your coconuts tonight.
We'll
great job.
We'll be here to midnight.
Keep the phone coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Keep fighting the fight.
Go Buckeyes.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it,
That sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 888-SHARE-19. That's 888-SHARE-19. 888-SHARE-19.